This is the third message in our series of Encouraged in Your Faith. And this is where Paul is writing to the Thessalonians. And he is, first of all, he's very challenged in the fact that he's wanted to go and minister to them, see them personally. He has not been able to do that. And so he sent Timothy. Timothy came back with a really good report. And Paul is glad for that good report. But at the same time, he still has care in the appropriate sense, like a father does for his children, care for the people of Thessalonica concerning some of the issues and things that they are going to have to deal with, that they are dealing with and going to have to deal with. And so he's being specific with them about some of these things and challenging them. He says, you guys are doing a great job, but at the same time, I want you to step it up. He keeps saying that throughout, and we'll see that again today. Today we're going to be talking from 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, standing firm in the Lord. And obviously this is not just a letter to the Thessalonians, that's the interpretation, but the application is, this is God's word, as we realize the writings of Paul were inspired by the Spirit of God, and they're scriptures given to us for our instruction, for our training in righteousness, in doctrine, in correction, in, you know, encouragement, those kinds of things is why the scripture is given to us. So we want to pay attention as though the Spirit of God was writing a letter to us, because there are many applications that are directly related to the things that we deal with in our day, and so we want to pay attention to these things, not just say, oh, that was a historical book. No, it's to be applied to us here, and now it's relevant for us today. So 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, and starting with verses 1 through 5, actually I'll just do 1 through 3 right now, and we're going to talk about troubles and temptations to start with in this passage. Finally, when we could stand it no longer, we decided to stay alone in Athens, and we sent Timothy to visit you. He is our brother and God's co-worker in proclaiming the good news of Christ. We sent him to strengthen you, to encourage you in your faith, and to keep you from being shaken by the troubles you were going through. But you know that we are destined for such troubles. So the first thing we see is, you know, Paul is challenging them regarding the challenges that they are going to face or the troubles that they're going to face. He says, I was unable to return to Thessalonica, and so Timothy was sent. And he was sent to encourage them in their faith. And again, this is where I've gotten the title to the series, Encouraged in Your Faith. These are the things that we need as well. We need to be encouraged in our faith to stand strong and to stay firm in the Lord. And so he goes on, and this is what I would direct your attention to, is the most significant about today's message, or the topic or theme of today's message, to keep them from being shaken by troubles. This is why, again, Timothy was sent to encourage them in their faith. But troubles were going to be there. Troubles were evident. Troubles were, they were destined for troubles is really what it says. But I want you to keep from being shaken by those troubles. All right, so we'll read on. But the trouble or triumph with troubles. See, troubles can either trouble you and create you to be devastated, or you can triumph in those troubles. Again, we are destined for troubles, and we can be challenged if we don't understand that. But let's read verse 3 again, and we'll read on through verse 5. And to keep you from being shaken by the troubles you were going through, but you know that we are destined for such troubles. Even while we were with you, we warned you that troubles would soon come, and they did, as you well know. That is why, when I could bear it no longer, I sent Timothy to find out whether your faith was still strong. I was afraid that the tempter had gotten the best of you and that our work had been useless. Okay, so Paul has this genuine concern, because troubles can either throw people off the track of faith. We read in Scripture about people being shipwrecked in their faith. In other words, they have this sense of, I want to walk with God. I want to do what God desires for me to do. I want to live my life for the Lord. And then troubles come in the various forms. Specific to the Thessalonians, they were going to be facing persecution, the same kind of persecution that Paul faced when he was at Philippi, and then he comes to Thessalonica, is persecuted there, and he goes on to the next place and is persecuted there. You know, persecution was a big thing with them. But troubles also came in the form of not only resistance to the gospel, but the life issues that go on. We all know that we face these, and Paul says we're destined for troubles. They're going to happen. The challenge is, how do we respond when we deal with the troubles? And like I said here in the comments, we don't understand, especially if we're faithful. You know, we somehow or other, some form of the message of faith is, you know, if we're faithful to the Lord, we're not going to deal with troubles. And that's not the case. I mean, you know, look biblically, it was never the case for those who were faithful with the Lord. You know, in fact, sometimes there was even more trouble that came to those who, that were walking with the Lord, because Satan's out to destroy that. And he's out to destroy every one of us. And he would love to shipwreck us in our faith and get us off to the side where we're going, you know, this faith stuff, this walking with God stuff doesn't work. Because my life would be much better if it did work. And so we just give up on God and go and decide we're going to do our own thing, and it's just not worth it. It's kind of what we do. And that's just exactly where Satan wants to get us, is off the path, off the course of our walk with the Lord. And so Paul is concerned about that with the Thessalonians. He says to himself, how are they going to respond when they're going to have the trouble? I told them that when I was there with them, that they'd have trouble, and they're having it. And so, man, are they going to stay faithful? That was a concern that he had. And so, again, that's why he's sending Timothy, and that's why he's blessed with the report that he gets back. But again, oftentimes when our faith is tested, we do get weary. We struggle with the troubles that we have. And again, when our prayers are not answered in the time that we figure they should be, we start to challenge the love of God, question the love of God. We start to wonder if he really is real, if he really is there for us, if he really does hear our prayer. And so our faith is tested, and we can get weary in our faith, weary in our walk with the Lord when our faith is tested. And also, when our faith is tested, you know, and when we experience trouble, there is the opportunity for temptations. We all have this tendency that when we are struggling with issues in life, we have this tendency to be tempted by those things that will satisfy us immediately or gratify us immediately. It's just like, I need a break. I need a break from these issues of life, so I'm going to go do whatever it is that we do to try to get that resolve, or try to get that, you know, cover up the pain, or those kinds of things. And maybe you've heard this before, this acronym of HALT. Be careful. Whenever you are hungry, angry, lonely, or tired, okay, those things can cause you to be subject to the temptation of the enemy, subject, vulnerable to his temptation. And so don't go off doing anything strange or weird, or, you know, giving in to the desires of the flesh when you are hungry, angry, lonely, or tired. And it seems like we can frequently experience those things when we are having trouble. And so be especially on guard. And this is what Paul is saying to them. Your faith is being tested. And when your faith is being tested, that's an opportunity for temptations to come. It's an opportunity for Satan, who is the tempter. And, you know, the reality is the enemy, Satan, is out to destroy the church and to destroy your life personally. As the Word of God says, he comes to steal, to kill, to destroy. And it says that he is prowling about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Everyone say devour.
Devour.
That's what he wants to do to you. But we can't allow ourselves to get put in that position where he can devour us. And so we need to be on our guard. He would love to turn us away from our walk with the Lord and turn us back into sin, living a life of sin. And so we have to acknowledge this, and then we have to engage ourselves in that wrestle, that struggle that Ephesians 6 talks about, where it says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against ruling forces of darkness in the heavenlies. And then what does it tell us to do in Ephesians 6? A little quiz here. What does it tell us to do when we're wrestling against principalities and powers? Put on the full armor of God, that you may resist the evil one in the evil day, that you may stand firm against the evil one. And so we need to know how to engage when troubles come, how to engage when the enemy is coming, trying to get us off track. We need to know how to engage and put on his armor, be filled with his spirit. The scriptures, I could go on and on about the divinely powerful weapons that he has given us, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 through 5, given us to pull down the strongholds of the enemy. So, you know, we just need to be on guard and ready for when we go through trouble and we get weary and we get come under temptation, how to stand against that. Paul, again, is concerned for the Thessalonians, knowing that they were going to endure trouble. He wanted them to be able to stand firm as they went through that. Okay, so then in verse chapter 3, verses 6 through 10, just verse 6 to start with, it says, "But now Timothy has just returned, bringing us good news about your faith and love. He reports that you always remember our visit with joy and that you want to see us as much as we want to see you." So he says there's good news about your faith and love. In other words, their faith had been tested, and instead of them getting weary and instead of them caving into the troubles with the testing and the temptation, instead their faith was becoming completed. And here's the other thing that comes as our faith is tested. I'll toss up a couple of scriptures for you regarding that. In James 1, 3 and 4, it says, "For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow, for when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing." So, you know, we end up in times of trouble where our faith is being tested, and we go, "Oh, no, no, I don't want to endure that. Oh, Lord, rescue me from these trials. I don't like these trials. Please rescue me." But in that, we can be completed, or we can come to another level of maturity, another level of Christ-likeness, by allowing our faith being tested to produce the endurance in us that causes us to become complete and lacking in nothing. So instead of becoming weary in our testing, we become completed in our testing. You know, that's, again, man, I could go on and on and on with scriptures. James 1 says, "Consider it all joy when you enter into various tests, trials, or temptations." Why? Because knowing this, that the proving of your faith produces endurance. I guess I'm getting it mixed up with, oh, there I am in James 1, excuse me. Okay, so never mind. I'm preaching my own message and not realizing it. Okay, let's move on before I totally embarrass myself. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 7, another one of these testing faith and the outcome of that. 1 Peter 1, 7 says, "These trials will show that your faith is genuine. It is being tested as fire tests and purifies gold, though your faith is far more precious than mere gold. So when your faith remains strong through many trials, it will bring you much praise and glory and honor on the day when Jesus Christ is revealed to the whole world." So there is a good to the testing of our faith, and there is a good to the trouble that we experience. Troubles can either get us weary and off course, but if we will allow them and properly respond to them, which is what Paul's desiring for them to do, to stay strong in their faith, because, I mean, even as a part of the armor of God, faith is described as the shield of faith with which we extinguish those flaming arrows, those flaming missiles of the evil one. So it's a part of our armor. And so when we're responding appropriately to the troubles and the trials that we're having, we're just becoming more and more strong in Him, strong and complete in Him. And so there is a testing, and that testing purifies us, makes us like that pure gold as being described, the metaphor that is being used or the illustration that is being used in here. So he says, "You have remained strong in your faith." Let's read verses 7 and 8. It says, "So we've been greatly encouraged in the midst of our troubles and suffering, dear brothers and sisters, because you have remained strong in your faith. It gives us new life to know that you are standing firm in the Lord." So he says, you've remained strong in your faith, and you are standing firm in the Lord. So he's like a proud daddy right now. Remember, Paul had this connection with the Thessalonians like a father to his children. And he's encouraging them in the disciplines or in the ways of the Lord, and then he's seeing them walk it out, and he's seeing them stay faithful even when they're having troubles. He's going, yeah, way to go. You're staying firm, and that blesses us so much in the troubles that we're having. It's like you know what? It's worth it to go through this persecution because look at the outcome. Look at the lives that are changed. Look at how these Thessalonians are staying firm in their faith. They're staying firm in the Lord. They're standing firm in the Lord. Now, again, we face challenges and we face issues in life that can challenge that faith or test that faith. And I'm going to have the skit guys help us to understand this through a variety of skits that we're going to put up on the screen here in just a little bit. So I'll have you drop all the lights down, Ted, and you got the sound on and everything, and I'll fire this up. I knew that wasn't on my skit. I thought, what? What is that? Ted, are you playing something back there? Sound effects? Okay, here we go. Lights down.
Hey, Morty, give me a smoke, Morty. There you go. I just need one. Just give me one. There you go. I got it. Watch this, Morty. I've been doing this since I was in high school. Watch this. Smoke rings, Marty. Smoke rings. I still got it, huh?
Watch that.
I tell you, Morty, I tell you, since we were just kids, we said we're going to stop the big things and even the small things in our lives. I say it's not too late. I say we stop today.
How about tomorrow?
Okay. What keeps you from following God? What keeps us from following God? Maybe if we're to look at it, maybe it's just our fear.
Grandpa?
Yes, what is it?
Grandpa?
What is it, partner?
Can I ask you some questions?
Shoot, Kimasabi.
Okay. Grandpa?
Yep, buddy.
What does it mean when the angel, what does it mean when it rains?
Well, puppy.
Puppy?
That means that the
puppy?
That's a little nickname I give you.
Puppy.
That's better than calling you a dog.
Okay.
What was your question?
I don't know.
Yeah. Welcome to my world.
What does it mean when it rains?
Let me see. I'll tell you what, Buckaroo. that means that the angels are crying. They're sad about something.
Okay.
Yeah.
What does it mean? What does it mean when it snows?
Well, Chip, it means means that they're shampooing their hairs.
Grandpa?
Yep. What is it? Their scooter?
What does it mean when it thunders?
Well, that means the angels had chalupas for dinner the night before.
Okay. Grandpa?
Yeah, a little bit.
Grandpa?
Yeah, half pint.
why do pretty people marry ugly people?
Oh, squirt. Well, that's because love is blind. Mm. But don't talk about your grandma that way. Some new thing you kids are doing. 23 Skidoo.
No, this is the part of the skit where I was supposed to segue into something serious.
Oh, yeah.
You're making it really hard.
Yeah. Come on, buddy boo.
Grandpa?
Come on, Princess, you can do it.
Grandpa?
Yep.
Grandpa?
Yep.
Why,
yep.
How come every time we see those planes, mm-hmm. when they hit those buildings and all those people died, and if bad stuff happens all the time, I mean, if God loves everybody, why does all that bad stuff? And sometimes when I grow up, I'm really, really afraid that there's going to be some bad stuff.
Now you listen. Your old grandpa will spin stories and tell you tales all day long. But what I'm about to tell you right now is the truth. Since the beginning of time, good and evil have been battling it out. But I've read the book all the way to the end. And in the end, God wins. God wins in the end.
What keeps you, what keeps us from following God? Maybe it's the way we procrastinate the things that we just know are truth. We procrastinate good versus evil. We procrastinate right versus wrong.
Hey, Dad.
Yeah.
Those are not my cigarettes.
These are not your cigarettes?
Nah, but you can put them in here.
All right.
That didn't really work out like I planned.
Yeah.
My buddies are going to see this movie, okay? And I know you and I know about the movie. We talked about it, okay? But before you say anything, okay? Uh-huh. I know that there is some cussing in the movie, okay? But it's just a little bit, okay? Just a little bit, and I know it's not real, okay? And there's some violence, okay? Mm-hmm. But it's just a little bit, and I know it's not real, you know? Yeah. And there's some nudity in it, okay? But it's just a little, and I know it's not real. But anyway, can I please go see the movie, please?
Okay.
I knew it. You don't ever let me do anything. What do you say?
You can go see the movie.
That's awesome. You're the coolest dad in the whole wide world.
Whoa, before you go, I knew we were going to have this conversation again, so I decided I would make you some of my famous brownies that you loved since you were a kid.
These are my favorite brownies
You've
in the whole wide world.
You've loved those brownies since you were a little
these.
Kid. And so I thought I'd just make them for you. You know, same great ingredients that I always put in those brownies,
yeah.
But this time I just added a little bit of something, just a little bit of something. It shouldn't affect the whole batch. It's just a little bit of something.
You shouldn't mess with perfection.
That's my point exactly. Yeah. But I've added the same ingredients that I always have. You got the eggs, the flour, the cocoa. You got the little bit of vanilla. You got the almonds. Same great ingredients that I always put in there.
Powdered sugar.
Powdered sugar is in there. But this time I added just a little bit of something.
Brown sugar.
Brown sugar. A little bit of brown sugar, yeah.
White sugar.
Sure. Yeah, we'll go with that ad lib. Sure. But I added just a little bit of something in there. Just a little bit of something. It shouldn't affect the whole batch, though.
Cumin?
No.
Allspice?
No.
Old Spice?
No.
I can taste a little difference.
But it shouldn't affect the whole batch, son. It's just a little bit. I mean, yes, same wonderful ingredients, but it's just a little bit of something.
What is it?
Dog poop.
Excuse me?
Just a little bit, son. It's just a little bit.
It is dog poop. From the big dog or the little dog?
From the little dog.
Whew. That's a load off. Why would you put dog poop in the brownie?
Son, it shouldn't affect the whole batch. It's just a little bit. It's just a little bit.
I get it.
What?
It's just a little bit. It's just a little bit.
What?
Hey, the next time you don't want me to go see a movie, just say, son, don't go see a movie. Don't feed me poop brownies. I don't even want to go to the movie now. I just want to go get something to drink. That better be lemonade in the refrigerator.
What keeps you from following God? What keeps us from following God? Bottom line, maybe it's just us.
Hey.
Hey.
Where were you this weekend?
I was at a thing with my church.
Oh, that's right, dude.
Yeah, you
should have invited me.
I've totally invited you to church so many times, but you never go. You're a total atheist.
What?
You're a total atheist.
Dude, I am not an atheist.
Yeah, you are.
No, I'm not. I just don't believe in God. Yeah, guess I am.
Yeah.
Learn
yeah.
something new every day. How was it?
Sure, it was good. You know, I mean, God showed up, stuff like that. It was
whoa,
good.
Whoa. God showed up?
Yeah, God showed up.
Okay, humor me, because I don't even believe in the guy, right? How do you know God shows up? What? Like a big white limo pulls up, man? Door opens up, fog grows out. It's all like, ladies and gentlemen, God is in the hizzow. like steps out. Oh, bless you, peace.
No, I can't explain how God works. It's kind of like a microwave. I mean, I can't explain how a microwave, but we use
Please,
a microwave.
Dude,
you know,
no.
It's kind of the same way.
God, don't give me that, okay?
Why?
Oh, I can't explain it. I can't. That's the problem with you Christians. I don't know how to explain God. He's just
no,
there.
No. Here. It's right here.
Well, you talked about a microwave. A microwave has a manual. I can read it and explain it to you.
Right. I knew you were going with that. Here's our manual.
The Bible.
Yeah, the Bible.
This is your manual.
It's a manual, yeah.
Right, show me. Show me where it says how God shows up.
All right. Well, I mean, kind of put me on the spot. I mean, okay, well, John 3:16.
Don't give me John 3:16. I'm an atheist, and I know what that says.
Well, you're putting me on the spot. I mean, I didn't
That's not a manual.
No,
it's a trophy.
It's not a trophy. Why is it a trophy?
You don't even know what's in there.
I do know what's in
there. No, you don't. It's something for you to carry around. I mean, the truth is, Christianity is a joke anyway.
It's not a joke because I couldn't give you a few scriptures. It's a joke.
No, Christianity is a joke because Christians don't act like they're supposed to Christ. You know what? It's not a big deal.
It is a big deal.
No, it's not a big deal.
I can't give you
it's not a big deal, okay?
Why?
Here's why. Because you and I are the same person, okay? We act the same. We talk the same. We do the same things. Ask anybody that knows both of us, and they'll say the only difference between you and me is you don't get to sleep in on Sundays, and I do, okay? So it's not a big deal. You and I are the same one. And if you're okay, then I'm okay. Mr. What does your mom say? Going to hell in a handbasket, right? If I'm okay, you're okay. It's all good.
So not fair.
Not fair, you say.
What did you just call me?
Call you anything.
No, you called me a name. Why did you just call me?
I didn't call you anything.
Yes, you did.
I didn't. You said it wasn't fair, and I said that's not fair, you say.
Oh.
What do you think I said?
I thought you called me a Pharisee.
What's that?
Religious person that looked good on the outside but was empty on the inside. No substance.
Yeah, I need to call you that. Look, I don't want to argue with you.
Yeah.
Me and some of the guys are going to go see a movie later. You want to come?
Sure.
I'll come pick you up. Oh, hey. It's kind of a racy movie. You might want to bring your manual with you.
Just kidding. What keeps us from following God? You know what that thing is. You know what those things in for your students. What keeps you from following God? Bottom line, most of the time, it's just us. May I encourage you, may we just encourage you to keep running the race and finish strong. Thank you.
In sharing that illustration, it was humorous and yet very thought-provoking at the same time. For ourselves, what is it that, you know, that not only keeps us from following God, but can set us off the course of following Him, as we describe when troubles come or temptations come? You know, like we saw experience, there was troubles with issues that were going on in life, like the little child who was afraid of, you know, things that happen. Or for the teenager who was being tempted by the things that this world had to offer up as far as entertainment or trying to live out a Christian life without having any real substance on the inside to show the difference between Christianity and the world. You know, again, what are the things that keep us from following God or get us off track? Sometimes it might be those fears of good and evil battling it out in our own lives or trying to be the part of a Christian with no real substance on the inside. And the question is, what is your response to the testing of your faith when issues are presented before you to choose good or evil, or issues are presented before you where you're being tempted into the desires of the flesh? And do you have the resource of the manual to know how to respond? That's the whole point of Paul's instruction to the Thessalonians, and he's going to talk here in just a bit about filling in the gaps. In fact, that's what we're going to go ahead with in verses, starting with verse 9. It says, "Now we thank God for you. Because of you, we have great joy as we enter God's presence. Night and day we pray earnestly for you, asking God to let us see you again to fill in the gaps of your faith." Now, all of us have gaps because none of us have reached the place of being complete yet. And so we need to receive instruction from the owner's manual to know how to deal with the issues that come up when they do, whether it be temptations or whether it be fears or whether it be circumstances that are contrary to you, troubles and trials in life. We want our faith to complete us, to be our endurance, to have its perfect work and for us to be completed, not for us to grow weary in our faith or shipwrecked in our faith. And so Paul speaks about praying for them. We see in Paul's life and in his ministry, his whole purpose was to bring people to that place of completion in faith. We see in Colossians 1:28, he says, "We proclaim him, admonishing every man and teaching every man with all wisdom, so that we may present every man complete in Christ." That's the work that God is desiring to do in us. And that's the reason why the Word of God has been given to us, so that we can receive the wisdom of God's Word to bring completion about in our lives. And remember when Jesus said this to his disciples, he said, "You know, I have many more things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now." Now, the reason why the disciples could not bear those or receive those things to fill in the gaps of their faith is because they had not yet received the Spirit of God, that anointing on the inside of them to lead them and to guide them into all truth. And that's when Jesus went on to say, "You can not bear them now, but I will send to you the Holy Spirit, and he will lead and guide you into all truth," is where Jesus went on from there. Now, we trust and believe that we have the Holy Spirit leading and guiding us into truth, dwelling on the inside of us, and yet sometimes we deal with an unrenewed mind, whereas we have not knowledge, we do not have knowledge of the owner's manual, how we are to respond in things, and therefore we're destroyed for a lack of knowledge. We get set off course because we don't know what the course really is. And so there are things that we need to have our gaps of faith filled in by the Word of God, by instruction, the wisdom from God's Word. Now here's the cool thing. When Paul speaks to them and also the Word of God is speaking to us in verses 11 through 13, it says this. It says, May God our Father and our Lord Jesus bring us to you very soon. And may the Lord make your love for one another and for all people grow and overflow just as our love for you overflows. May he, as a result, make your hearts strong, blameless, and holy as you stand before God our Father when our Lord Jesus comes again with all his holy people. Amen. You know, again, these Thessalonians were commended for their faith or for their love. We see that in chapter 1, verse 3, and we also see that in chapter 3 and verse 6. They're being commended for their love, but also at the same time, they're being challenged to step it up. As Paul prays, and he says, "May the Lord make it grow. May the Lord make your love grow and overflow." So step it up. You're doing great. You're being commended in your love walk, but at the same time, may it grow. The Lord make it grow and overflow. And then the result of their love having grown and overflow, it says, "Your hearts are strong and you'll be blameless." I'll read verse 13 again. "May he, as a result, make your hearts strong, blameless and holy as you stand before God our Father when our Lord Jesus comes again with all his holy people." Amen. The Lord is establishing us in a place where he can keep us. And the Word of God says that he keeps us. I'm going to put up a couple of translations of Jude, verse 24, and where it says this, first of all, from the New Living Translation, it says, "Now all glory to God who is able to keep you from falling and will bring you with great joy into his glorious presence without a single fault." And also from the New American Standard, "Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling." I love that when it says God is able to keep you from stumbling. The only reason why we would stumble is if we allow ourselves to do it. Not because he has not equipped us, not because he has not given us the ability to stand firm in our faith, to stand firm in the Lord, to deal with the issues of life, to deal with the troubles of life. It's not because he has not equipped us. The only reason we would stumble is because we choose to. God is able to keep us from stumbling and to make us stand in the presence of his glory, blameless with great joy. God's desire is to see you complete. You stand before him having become complete, having been tested in your faith, proven in your faith, standing firm in your faith no matter the circumstances that come about in your life. We want to stay firm, stand firm, and stay true to the Lord and stand in his presence, complete, lacking nothing, and him saying, "Well done, good job, you've been faithful with the few, I'm going to entrust much to you." And that's where we receive all the the glory of the Lord, the joy of the Lord, the Lord is made joyful as we stand before him complete and being blameless. Let's pray. Father, we just are glad for the word of God that instructs us and inscribes to us the truth that is there for us to be able to stand strong. We realize the battle that is there when the troubles come, whether it's in persecution or whether it's circumstantial things in our life, issues that we face that would cause us to get off track, where the enemy wants to use those things to tempt us away from you and tempt us into lives of sin. And Father, my prayer is that we would, just as the Thessalonians were commended for their walk of faith and commended for their walk of love, that we also would be commended, Lord, as you examine our own lives. And we realize that there are still gaps where we need to be made complete, but we purpose to do that, going to the Word of God as our manual and not being ignorant of it, Lord, but being equipped with it so that we can stand firm in our faith. And Father, we just look forward to that day that we stand before you in your presence and you say, well done. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.